This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
It's not J-Law, it's not J-Lo, it's Joy Law.
It is time for our Joy Law segment with the lawyers from KHQ Lawyers. Hey Chris, hey Jack, how you doing?
Hiya Dean.
Awesome.
There we go, a bit of applause for it.
That's all the people we bring in just to cheer you on.
Brilliant.
Now, we've had a message in through the week, Chris. This comes from somebody who's looking for some advice about their partners. And we're obviously in the news at the moment, it's all about marriage equality, all about getting hitched. But sometimes, even in the gay world, things don't go to plan.
Not at all.
Get unhitched. So the email came through to Rach, Jax and Dean at joy.org.au. And the question was, and I won't name the person, but if I was to separate from my partner without being married, is there a difference to how we are treated by the law? I thought, what a good question.
It's a great question. Mm. Well, I might throw to Jack at first instance to talk about wills and powers of attorney, if I could.
Well, yeah, look, in terms of powers of attorney, everyone bandies them around, but they don't know what they're about. Absent a Marriage Act change,
yeah.
If you've got a de facto partner who gets sick, let's say, and you go to hospital, most nurses and doctors, sadly, will look you up and down and say, but you're same sex. If you've got a medical treatment power of attorney, it gives you the authority and status in any hospital to go in and help your partner.
Oh, so this is like those horrible stories that you hear of partners who are being asked to leave a room because they're not recognised as
Correct.
Being a relationship.
Exactly.
So this is why you need the power of
yeah.
attorney.
And it's not a complicated thing to do. It's a one, two-page document. It has to be properly witnessed by two people, one of which is a lawyer. And that document gives you some authority and standing in the law in between now and when the Marriage Act has changed.
So that's helpful advice, but I just think, so I need to carry this around in my wallet at all
times? I know,
it's
ridiculous, isn't it? Like having to sign something to say, if something happens to me, my partner can make a decision,
yeah.
whereas married couples, bang.
Is this something that people like myself and my partner should be doing? Like, neither of us are sick, but, like, my partner does triathlons and there's the potential of, you know, getting injured and that sort of thing. Should we have something like that as a backup? Is this something that we need as a backup because we can't get married?
Well, you certainly should have that. And really, wow. it's not complicated to do. You put it in the drawer. I hope to hell you and your partner never need it. Gives you that comfort feeling to know there's something to cover you in the event of something like that happening.
Wow.
But how about, so also with this question, the person's asking about being separated from their partner. So I think about my relationship. My boyfriend, Anthony, and I have been together for years. We own a house together. Mm. If ever, touch wood, you know, things were not to go well, what would happen? Would the courts fine 50-50 or...?
So that's a really good question. Firstly, it doesn't matter whether you're married or de facto in terms of a property settlement, children's matters or anything. So under the Family Law Act at the moment, we all have the same rights. And I use that kind of loosely because we do but we don't, obviously. So they won't find 50-50 necessarily because they look at contributions that you've both made, they look at who's earned the income, they look at roles such as homemaker. So if you had a child, Dean, with your partner and he or she was under the age of 18, they would look at your role, his role, all of those sorts of things. So there are a number of factors, but what I can say is the biggest thing about marriage equality and the reason why it's so important is that, Dean, you wouldn't have to prove that you're in a de facto relationship when you go to the family court. It would be, if you're married, it's a given. The first hurdle for many relationships when they go to the family court is proving you're in a relationship. And you know what? That's kind of really disheartening.
So you kind of have to prove you're in a relationship to prove you want to break up
in a de facto relationship, correct.
That just seems odd.
And yep. then if you go, sorry, go Rach.
I was just going to say, going back to the,
Power of attorney.
Power of attorney.
That's the point that Jack was raising, but if you could have a partner who's not well, it might help to have a power of attorney.
Definitely will.
It will?
Because you get some recognitions in the eyes of the conventional medical community about your standing to your partner.
And as I say, I've heard some unhappy stories of people who've been found in those situations.
But we have gotten a lovely message through saying someone, they haven't given their name, they say, I don't agree about the hospital staff because I had a heart attack 2 years ago and he was by my side the whole time.
That is fantastic.
And that is the exception rather than the rule. I'm really glad that that happened.
Absolutely.
Because when a tragedy happens to your loved partner, the last thing you need is to have a hassle at the hospital bed place.
You just don't need that, do you?
And I guess being lawyers and people come to us when things have fallen apart, we hear the bad stories.
Exactly.
We hear that I wasn't allowed in and the mother was there and, you know, all of those situations. So to hear that, fantastic. I think that's great. And it shows how forward we have come.
Chris, until the Marriage Act is changed, do you want to talk about what a de facto couple can do to register their relationship apart from the medical treatment power of attorney?
Yeah, so look, we, as gay people, we can register our relationships with the state government. Personally, not a huge fan of that.
I think I can register my dog.
That's exactly.
I'm sorry.
I agree, you know. Dean, 100%. And you know what?
Your
that
relationship
in itself
is number 634298.
B. But you know what,
Rach? Actually does look good in a dog collar, got to say. Anyway.
Exactly. But you don't even get a dog collar. But can I say, Rach, you know what's really interesting is that if you register your relationship, you have a 28-day cooling off period. And that in itself just, it does not sit well because do you get married and go, hey, guys, you got married, but guess what? You got 28 days and you can pull back and say no. I mean, what does that say about our relationships and how they're viewed in society? And having said all that and having my dig about registering your relationship, that is conclusive proof that you are in a relationship.
So it's not a bad thing to do, in fact.
It's not. It's definitely not. Yeah, but I'm not going to be running off to do it.
And assuming the survey comes out positive and the politicians change the law, this is a process that won't happen overnight. Mm. It's going to take months, possibly a year even to get it through Parliament. So in the meantime, I think it's a good thing to register a relationship.
I guess that's a good point. So even if if there is success around the yes vote, that doesn't mean the legislation will change overnight.
It won't.
There needs to be at least of drafting and debate in the Houses.
Which is where it should have been in the first place. But that aside, it's not going to happen straight away. But can I say the only exciting thing that I've seen this week is Tony Abbott's daughter wearing a yes T-shirt. I was like, good on her.
And then his own sister like clapped him on Twitter by, you know, saying, you made the rules, so why didn't you add that rule in if now you're so passionate about it? She's like, you started this, so you should have finished it.
100%.
So, Chris and Jack, you've mentioned there, and I don't want to dwell on the negatives, but there are situations where people do find themselves in a bit of bother. And they should perhaps also, we just had another message in. Actually, let's do the message before I ask.
Yeah, so this message has come through saying that my uncle was in a near fatal motorbike accident, which put him in a coma. My other uncle was by his side for every minute. Hospital and police of Brisbane respected them and supported them. So that's another
great
story.
Great to hear.
So if you do have any questions or comments, 0427 JOY949 or onair@joy.org.au. The question I was going to ask, and it's lovely to get these affirming and positive stories, but if the negative does happen, should people reach out for legal advice?
100%. I had a really sad situation where a gay couple had been together for 12 or 13 years. When they started dating and then subsequently moved in together, that one of their girl was maybe 2 or 3 years old. She subsequently was in an accident, was in hospital. The mother turned around and said, no, gay partner cannot come near my child. I had to get involved and call the hospital and call the doctors and say legally, he's a step-parent. The response I got was, but they're not married. And I said, it actually does not matter. So the biggest thing is, even though not a lot legally will change for in terms of the rights, it will be the social recognition. That will be the thing that really pushes this off.
Absolutely. So the whole purpose of you guys being here on our show each week is to answer these tough questions, these questions that you go, oh my goodness, like, what if I have a child? You know, how, as a gay person, do I go about having a child? What are my legal rights? So we want to get all those questions for you guys to answer every every Tuesday, 4:45. So if you do have questions for the Joy Law team through KHQ Lawyers, please send a message to Rach, Jack and Dean at joy.org.au, or jump on our Facebook page as well, Rach, Jack and Dean. It's an easy way to find us. We can keep you completely anonymous if that's what you'd like to do.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for your time today, Chris and Jack from KHQ Lawyers.
Thank you.
KHQ Lawyers offer private wealth advice for the LGBTI community that you can trust.
Our team has expertise in all areas of law relating to estate planning, succession planning and taxation.
We provide a free 30-minute consultation with no obligations to you. We take a holistic view of your assets and family circumstances to provide you with a high-level analysis and suggestions of your next steps.
Leave a peaceful financial legacy for your family and loved ones without any legal fuss. Chat to KHQ about a succession plan today.
Find out more and get in touch at khq.com.au. KHQ Lawyers are a proud Joy sponsor.
You can find more Joycast and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.